Before we get into this week's podcast, I've got some exciting news to share with you. We recently shared how you can get your hands on the Comrades Marathon Pacing Bands. You could order yours up front, pre-order, and then pick them up printed at the Coach Parry stand at the Comrades Marathon Expo in Durban. Since we let you know that, we have got hundreds of emails asking us exactly how to predict what your Comrades Marathon finish time might be. The good news is we've created a calculator that'll tell you exactly how to do that, okay? All you need to do is head over to coachparry.com/time. The link is also in the description of this podcast. You can click on that. It'll take you straight through to the page. Plug in your best marathon time over the last 12 months, and it'll tell you exactly what your predicted Comrades Marathon finish time is for the app run this year, but also for the slightly shortened route as well. So we've done all the calculations for you. All you need to do is plug your marathon time in, and it'll tell you exactly what you can expect to run at the Comrades Marathon. All you need to do, head over to coachparry.com/time, and you can also pre-order your pace band for that exact finish time on that same page. So coachparry.com/time. Welcome on to the next edition of this podcast. My name is Brad Nadalt. We've got the coach, Lindsay Parry, with us once again, and it's a bit of an emergency one. There was a bit of a WhatsApp that went out this morning to everybody involved, all the role players at Comrades, and there's been a bit of a logistical issue in Pietermaritzburg for this year's race. Lindsay, obviously there's lots to talk about and unpack in this webinar, but or in this podcast, but turns out that they've double booked Scottsville, so they're turning it around, and it's going to be another down run this year, unfortunately. So as much as we've been calling our podcast up, we probably need to change the name to down, but everyone's going down this year.
Look, I know a handful of people that are going to be excited about that, Brad. I'm not one of them. That's a lot to process. A lot of things that need changing now for the 9th of June. I feel sorry for the folks at Comrades. I mean, that's a nightmare.
It is a nightmare. Logistically terrible, but it's a good thing. It's April Fool's Day, so it's still an up run. I had to do it. Lindsay, imagine.
Had me there for a second, Brad, because I haven't even been into any of my messages or anything this morning yet. I was racking my brain there, but I didn't even see that date was the 1st of April.
Imagine if that had happened.
I got some things I'd like to say to you.
Imagine logistically if that had to happen.
On the 1st of April, jeez, I mean, what's it like?
Let's shut up shop. We turn off the lights. We'll come back again next year. We're not going to do this. That would be incredible. But yeah, thankfully it is still an uprun. We don't need to change. That was my concern, is we needed to change the name of the podcast, but we don't have to, so we're fine. I'm sure Comrades House would be stressing a bit more than we would be about just changing the name on a graphic or two. Good news is it is still an uprun, just to make 100% clear, we're not starting salacious rumors here.
The other good news is that we'll find out very shortly if people listen beyond 2 minutes on this podcast, because there might be all over social media that it's a down run by the time we get off here.
Okay, well, let's just apologize to Anne and the rest of the crew at Comrades. Sorry, it was just a joke. We didn't mean anything. Hopefully we haven't caused any chaos. People busy cancelling their accommodation, rebooking in Durban. Man, it's going to be a mess. Maybe we should have thought this through before we did it, Lindsay. I don't know. Might have been a bit more important. Let's talk Comrades training, and in particular what's coming our way. It's hard to believe we're in April, Lindsay. Like, this is it. Like, we are definitely crunch time now as far as training goes. But came out of this last weekend, obviously it was the Easter weekend, and Easter 100 we spoke about last week, and if you were going to do it, how to manage that process. But we're deep in ultra territory at the moment. There's the Irini 48 this weekend, which is a goodie if you are a marginal qualifier, because some clever person did the maths and realized, you know what, if you work out minutes per kilometer, 48 is the number that if you are struggling to run a 450 marathon, run 48Ks, it makes it a bit easier to qualify. So there's lots of people running Irini this weekend who are the marginal qualifiers, and we're going to be talking a lot to that this week as well. And then we also wanted to talk a lot about gear and making sure that we've been talking dress rehearsals from a training perspective, so making sure that you're running at race pace, you're sorting your nutrition out, all of that stuff. But this is also now the time to make sure you know what you're running in from a gear perspective and you have figured it out and it's going to get put away. We're going to talk about the process of doing that today as well. But Lindsay, let's talk about this coming weekend. And Irene, you mentioned to me that I think it's Benoni Northerns, I think, have changed their marathon to a 48 as well, which is coming up a little bit later in the build-up to Comrades. But let's talk specifically this weekend. A lot of people use this one if they are a marginal qualifier. What should the mindset be going into on this one this weekend?
Yeah, so really good question. For the majority of people, it really should be about like a training run and testing our gear. So we're going to dive into the gear, et cetera, in a lot more detail on this call anyway. But for the majority of us, that's what the Irene 48 and the BNC 48 should be about, rather than qualifying. But you were talking about the fancy math, which I was quickly trying to do. So, you know, that's why I was looking about squint just now while Brad was talking, while I was quickly trying to do some fancy maths. But, you know, to give you an idea, if you qualified on a 50K, you need to run at 7:12 per K. But if you're doing it on a 48K to qualify, talking about 7:30 per K. So it really is a huge difference. I mean, it almost buys you 15 minutes, give or take. So it's honestly like huge, the amount of boost it gives you. So if you are struggling, that's what you want to look for. You want to look. So the 48 to 50 is the same qualifying time, and the 52 to 54. So if you can find a 52K qualifier and the timing on that is right, that's the same principle applies, that you can use that then to get yourself a far more comfortable qualifier. And so that is what the Irene Ultra sells itself as, and it is true to its word. It is a much easier qualifier. Of course, it's coming late in the day. So it's going to be at the end of this week, which is the 6th, 7th of April. So we are qualifying in peak training. So we are just going to have to make sure that we recover from that effort and make sure that we don't then pick up an injury afterwards. But again, for those that really are struggling to get onto the start line, you've got an opportunity now and again on the 28th of April to get that in. And for everyone else, it is one of our important tests along the way. So not everybody's going to run this one. So for the rest of you on the call, I know Brad's already caused everyone to have a heart attack. I'm not suggesting that everybody who is listening to this pod must now go out and do the Irene. But in April, all of us are going to be doing something in the region of 40 to 55, 56 kilometers if you are running two oceans. But so what is the function of those runs for the majority of the field? It is for testing. So we went into detail on the testing around the nutrition about a month back, maybe a little bit more. But now we're going to get into a little bit more detail around, okay, well, what about the rest? So you are going to start crafting yourself a list that you're going to need for very important things for race day, okay? And those are things that actually you can't do without. So you're also going to pack them in a separate bag when you go down to Comrades, but that's for, I'm jumping many, many podcasts ahead here. But suffice to say that this is the start of that process. You are going to start making a list. The flavors of the gels, the types of gels, the bars, the things that you really like. Like if you are on the training run and a spectator gave you something, or there was something at a water table that you tried, a drink that you haven't tried before, a banana or an orange or some banana bread, or somebody gave you a cheese and tomato sandwich, whatever it is, like you got something along the way that was just like, wow. Then that needs to go on a list. Otherwise, you're totally going to forget about it, and it's not going to be there on race day. And you know, one day when you're telling people, like, "Geez, I remember once when I did this, and it was so amazing." But in terms of the flavors of profile and the texture of things, now is where you're starting to groove. Like, what is right for you? Yes, folks, you heard me say it. You're in a race, trying something new. Is Lindsay crazy? Well, that's the whole point, is that this isn't your goal race. And so if there are things and options that you feel like could be available at Comrades, now is quite literally the time to try something new so that you can really get an idea of how you're going to respond to that, look forward to it. So you start making your list now. Suntan lotion, some form of lubricant like Vaseline, put that under your arms, between your butt cheeks. One of my clients just recently got a new female specific heart rate belt. So yeah, how well does it work? Is that something that you can use in an ultra marathon that clips underneath a bra? What bra are you using? Is it working for you? Is it time to try something new? What's your running kit? Where does your running kit cut into? Because on your normal long training runs, there's certain things that we can't really test. And I mean, you could go running in your club vest, but very few people do. But now you're doing it in this race. So does the club vest cut in somewhere unusual? How comfortable is your hat? Are you going to be running in sunglasses? I've got some hats that push my sunglasses onto my ear. So I don't like running in those hats on race day. So what hat is it? So I can put in there, that's my hat for race day. If I run in a pair of socks that I just feel wonderful, like perfect barrier between my shoe and my foot, and I roll those things up and I stick them in a little special space in the drawer that I've got, that's for race day. Keep that for race day. Ditto with my shoes. If I really just have a fantastic run in those shoes, then I'll do a couple more runs, but I'll make sure that those shoes are the ones that are still going to be with me on race day. And Brad, write it down so that we don't forget this, because now that I've mentioned shoes, I want to talk a little bit about shoes on this pod, but it's not part of this specific thing, but part of the pod. So yeah, just making these lists. Suntan lotion. Do you use a certain type of suntan lotion? Like, geez, Brad, this now I'm going off on a tangent, but this one, yeah, this P20, like I love P20. You put it on once, it works like a dream. And then this one, yeah, I rubbed it in and I was like so chuffed because P20 has worked so well for me my whole life. Well, like 12, 13 minutes into this run, P20, you sweat, goes into my eyes, okay? I thought I was going blind. Like, it was so hard. It stung so bad. Like, my eyes were closed for as long as I dared keep them closed. I was opening them. My eyes were so done that I couldn't see the time on my watch. It's like literally in survival mode. I just had to get to the end. And it was hours. I got to the finish line and I sat there waiting for my eyes to stop stinging so that I could keep them open long enough to drive home. And eventually I had to drive home with my eyes open. Like, so, you know, these are the kind of things you want to find out, not at Comrades. So suntan lotion, Vaseline, plasters. Where do I put the plasters? Socks, shoes. You know, we'll provide a checklist as we get closer to race day. But, you know, by then, to be honest, it's too late. You want to be cultivating that now. When do I take what? How do I take it? What do I mix it with? Can I tell you one thing that I haven't mentioned around nutrition yet, that I was running with a guy the other day and he said to me his big test with a product is when he takes it warm. Because if you're going to carry stuff yourself, it's going to get hot. It's up against your body for hours at a time. So it doesn't help that you love something when it's cool, but then when it gets warm, it's disgusting. So that's another little test. If you're going to take stuff with you on Comrades Race Day, what does it taste like? And how do you react to it when it's warm? So that's really the 48K, big, big part of, or any time from now on that you go beyond 40Ks, huge opportunity to test gear and nutrition and race plan.
Cool, Lindsay, let's talk about the shoes. You mentioned there was something specific you wanted to talk about, but I mean, there are. There's lots of things. I mean, you talk about sort of heart rate straps. You talk about the sort of sunscreen you're wearing, caps, that sort of thing. But shoes and socks are the two biggest things from a gear perspective that's going to make a big difference on Comrades Race then. And I'll chat about the socks because there's the jury's, I don't know, maybe it's just the people I hang out with. The jury's sort of out on the sock sort of thing. But let's talk shoes. How do you know you've still got, because we are getting to that point now where you could push through and run in a pair of shoes, but you could be sitting with like too many Ks on now. And what happens if you have too many? Like when is the time to change shoes if you are going to change them? Is it now? Or like what's the best way to deal with shoes this close to Comrade? Just a quick break from the podcast for a second to let you know and remind you that you need to pick up your Comrades Marathon Pace Band for Comrades 2024 right now. CoachParry.com/pace. You can also click on the link in the description to this podcast right now. Don't leave anything to chance. Make sure you plan the perfect race come race day. Head over to CoachParry.com/pace right now to get your custom Coach Parry pacing band for race day to make sure you run the race that is best suited for where you are and your training right now. That's CoachParry.com/pace. You can click on the link in the description right now. And don't forget, you don't want to pick up just one. Don't just take your plan A. Make sure you've got a plan B and plan C as well. That's CoachParry.com/pace. Running the Comrades Marathon doesn't have to be scary and intimidating. Just thinking about running 90 kilometers or 56 miles should give you butterflies in your stomach. Add to that the hills you have to run up and down and having to do it in under 12 hours. The thought of it is enough to freak the most seasoned runner out. Never mind a newbie to ultra running or a Comrades Marathon novice. As much as Comrades is a physical challenge, it's just as much a mental challenge. The constant mental gymnastics of second-guessing yourself takes its toll. Am I training enough? How long should my long runs be? How many marathons should I run? What does this pain in my knee mean? My ankle is sore. Should I rest or run? And then the two big ones. Am I fast enough? And will I finish? The questions never stop. The constant worrying is exhausting. And that's exactly why we've created the Comrades Marathon Training Roadmap. It's a proven step-by-step training plan to get you from where you are today to having a Comrades medal around your neck without the stress and worry. Knowing that you've done what it takes to finish the ultimate human race, feeling strong and in control. Ensuring that you arrive at the start line fit and most importantly, injury-free, because more than 64% of those who didn't finish the race last year started with an injury. The Comrades Marathon Training Roadmap guides you through every step of your Comrades journey. Training, qualifying, tapering, and race day. We've got you covered every step of the way. Simply head over to CoachParry.com/up to get access to it now, or simply click on the link in the description. That's CoachParry.com/up. Now back to the podcast.
100%, and that's exactly why I wanted you to pin that down and make sure that we don't forget. So, Brad, I just, before we go on, I mean, the way that you were talking about socks and the jury still being out, I mean, it's, I'm hoping we're not arguing about whether you should wear socks or not wear socks, because that makes me, I thought you'd left Kruger Fournier. I thought you guys wore shoes now. You're in Cape Town?
No, we do.
You and the family,
now you wear
shoes.
No, we wear socks. We wear socks all the time, even with flip-flops, we wear socks. That's no. What I was going to ask is the jury's out with regards to sort of running in a brand new pair of socks. I know a lot of people do that. Okay. That they find the brand of socks they like, and then they buy a pair and then they run in a brand new pair on race day.
Much better question. Right. Okay. So let's deal with the shoes first. Okay. Yeah. So really a good question. I mean, we literally are in like peak training. So we've done the building up now. We've got our next sort of 4 to 5 weeks of peak training. We are there. So the chances are that even if you're in a brand new pair of shoes now, you're going to be getting to the edge of whether your shoes should be runnable or not for Comrades. And certainly if you're training for Silver or Bill Roan, the chances of the pair of shoes that you're running in now being your shoe for race day are quite slim. Okay, so let's again, you know, I'm always breaking these things up into different components. So the one component is, what type of shoe am I going to run Comrades in? You know, it's always It's gotten a little bit more complicated these days. It used to be like if I was a super fast runner, I ran in a racing flat, and the question was like, I ran a 50, 55K and see if my feet are okay at that stage. And if they are, then yes, I'll hit a racing flat. There's enough cushioning in there or whatever. That's decision made. But now we've got to make a decision around carbon shoes, not carbon shoes. How much advantage do I get from a carbon shoe in a Comrades versus in a marathon? And so that is the decision to make. And then, okay, carbon shoes, but not all the carbon shoes are created equal. Some have got much more cushioning than others. And so if I am going to go with a carbon shoe, I've really got to find the one that provides me with the most cushioning, because while there's an energy return on the carbon shoe, the payback on that is that it can be extremely hard on your quads. So then am I doing enough strength training to run in a pair? So these are the kind of decisions you've got to make. And so the first and most important question I always ask around Comrades and the carbon shoe is, are you in it to win it? Do you have a realistic chance of winning your category, being in the top 10 in your age group? Are you trying to win Comrades? And if the answer to that question is no, then I wouldn't even bother experimenting with the carbon shoe. It really does hit your quads particularly hard. And so, yeah, I mean, the longer you're going to be out there for, I'd say don't do it. And, you know, I should make videos of these things so that I can actually show people. But being on the side of the road, and I pointed this out to Brad in both 22 and 23, is that, you know, when in the top sort of 25, there's very few people that are running through there that aren't using a plated shoe. But the ones that aren't wearing a plated shoe just come through Westville with so much spring in their step. Whereas the guys in the carbon shoes, like literally, you can just see that their legs are thrashed. There's nothing left in them. They like hit the ground and it's almost as if their legs just vibrate because they're just landing on the ground. So certainly if you're not a category, I don't advise you to run Comrades in a carbon plated shoe. And my advice is to go with a shoe that's really nice, well cushioned. You know, if you're a silver medal, a Bill Roan person, a little bit more serious about your running, then I would look into the lightweight neutral trainer space. So we're still looking nice and cushioned, but we then just like being a little bit pedantic around weight, and that can work quite nicely for Comrades. But for the rest of us, it's your high mileage neutral trainer. That is what we are after. That is the comfort. Yeah, I think 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was talking about what an awesome run I had at Amsterdam, and that was in my 1080 high mileage neutral trainer, and it was just the most wonderful run. I loved it. So if I was running Comrades, that would be my shoe for Comrades. Now, in terms of how do I decide if they're going to last me until I get to race day? So if you have the means and you can plan these things out, what you want to try to do is get to Comrades in a shoe that's hit around 200 to 250Ks, okay? Now, not even though the shoes are made in the same factories, coming off the same line, the fact that you kind of buy one pair typically this month, another pair 3 months later, so on and so forth, means that they don't all come out of the factory at exactly the same time. And there are just some small things that are not always 100% the same in every pair of shoes you get. So it's often that you'll put on a pair of shoes, it's the same brand, same model that you've been running in for the last 8 months, but now it's like, wow, something here just feels brilliant. So if that is the case, you run those shoes until they've got 150, 200 Ks on them, and then you save them for rest day. Okay, that's just how it is, because that shoe, you may not be able to replicate the same relationship that you've got with that shoe. So you're going to get same make, same model, and go off and train in the other one. And you know, safe in the knowledge that you've got this one here. And you do not want to be running Comrades in a shoe that's hitting that like 550 to 600K mark. What's going to happen is that shoe is going to just feel so hard and uncomfortable by the end of Comrades. It's nearing the end of its life. The cushioning compresses as we're running on it all day. The return on it's not going to be great. That's what you don't want to do. So sit down, do your maths, try and get to a point where you're going to have a pair of shoes that's 200-250 Ks. That's what you're going to run on race day and work things around that. We've harped on about injury and how 68% of runners who don't finish Comrades started with an injury. Like trying to push your shoes to 1,000, 1,100, 1,200 Ks, that's a high risk for picking up patellar tendinopathies, ankle ligament injuries, ankle tendinopathies, plantar fasciitis, Achilles tendon. That's your risk. So when your shoe's getting to the 800K mark, replace it. You can still do your shorter runs in that shoe for a couple of kilometers, still just to get a little bit more life out of that shoe. But the long runs, you move into the new shoe.
I'm having a quiet chuckle to myself here, Lindsay, because a few weeks ago we were talking about how Comrades runners aren't normal, that we're running marathons for fun. And now this week we were talking about running ultras just as training runs. And now you're talking about having relationships with shoes. I'm very, very worried, man. Like this, there's definitely something wrong with us.
I can tell you in our running group, the JP runners in Joburg, our saying is nobody's okay. So someone will go, "Are you okay?" And the reply will always be, "No one here is okay." So that is the truth.
That is about right. I wanted to ask you about the flip side of that coin. You said like the shoes don't. They come off the factory line different, even if it's in the same factory, same line, and you find one that really you fall in love with and you go, this is the shoe I want to have a long-term relationship with. So you put those away for Comrades. But there's the flip side of that coin, because I've just experienced this with the latest pair of shoes that I'm running in. I've run in the same brand, the same shoes for years, and this is the first time ever I've put a brand new pair of shoes on and it's burning me. Like there's this heat spot. I don't know what it is. What happens if you push it too late when you are changing shoes, there's a risk of that happening too, isn't there, where the shoe might not be right?
Yeah, so if I'm not mistaken, it's the same make and model, but it's not the same year. So it's not the exact same shoe in your case.
Correct.
So if that happened to me now in Comrades, I would be back to the factory shop and buying last year's model, because I know it works. And then after Comrades, I'd start trying to figure out what other shoe is available to me if this, you know, the current make and year of this same make and model is causing burning under my feet. And as far as possible, you know, like shoes, like if I was moving from a V3 to a V4, as far as possible, I wouldn't move from a V3 to a V4 in my peak training cycle. I would, you know, I would stick with the V3. And if I really like the V4, the look of it, I'd buy it and save it for after Comrades. But yeah, I wouldn't try and make those kind of changes. And I'd go back to the most recent shoe that didn't give me problems. That would be the short answer to that question.
Cool. Lindsay, let's touch on sort of coming out of Irini this weekend. We've spoken about shoes. Again, what happens if this weekend things don't go according to plan from a gear perspective? We spoke about nutrition that a few weeks ago, but like if we think this is what we're going to run in, but then the wheels come off on the weekend, how do we reassess? Like, is there still enough time to have a plan B from a gear perspective?
Yeah, there is. I mean, you've got another 40-odd K run coming up on the 6th of May. So that's where you'll do the kind of another product test. So all the things that you felt didn't work, you will try on a few 30 to 36K runs. You've probably got two or three of those. So you'll try and problem solve and then make the changes you need to make, test them in those runs, and then your final big tester will come in that 40 to 45K on the 6th of May, where you'll go, right, I'm going to just do that final test, and then hopefully all the changes you made will then work out and you'll be okay. And if not, then we do have a bit of a problem, because then we are spitballing a little bit. And yeah, we'll try something super conservative, which means that you won't be able to be 100% confident going to race day, but because it's really conservative, hopefully it'll be something workable for comrades.
And if all else fails, then it's flip-flops and socks. That's your best bet for comrades. That's super conservative or not. Let's talk about the socks. We mentioned running in a new pair of socks. What's your thoughts on that?
So I don't like the idea of brand new, just because for the exact same reason. I mean, I've now been running in Versus socks for, I don't know, 2.5 years maybe. And I haven't put on a pair yet that have given me any grief. And I will say that I have twice bought new shoes new socks at the expo, and I have run in them, and I've taken the risk because it's not my main race, number one. And number two, because I've literally run in these socks now for so long. However, if the seam is slightly out or it starts digging into your baby toe because there's a little bit of a extra tail on the seam that you didn't notice, that's going to give you gear. So I like new socks for race day, but not brand new socks for race day. So I would say that one use and a wash is right for a pair of socks for your main race. So I wouldn't buy them out of the packet and use them, but I would try and keep them new, with just like maybe a 10K in them and a wash, and then they are there for you.
Brilliant. Lindsay, as always, it's great stuff. And this is also just for people who maybe watch the beginning and then skip to the end. It was an April Fool's joke at the start of this one. It's still an uprun. So if you skip right till the end, just a heads up that we are still going up this year. Lindsay, as always, thanks for chatting. We look forward to catching up again soon.
Brilliant. Cheers, Brad.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Up. Don't forget to pick up your custom Comrades Marathon 2024 pace band right now. We'll print them out and make sure we've got them waiting for you at the expo in Durban in the build-up to Comrades. So head over to coachparry.com/pace or click on the link in the description right now.